Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, our mission is, well, it's pretty straightforward, but also pretty heavy. We're plunging into the source material you sent, specifically focusing on the historical claims of the Book of Mormon.
That's right. And specifically, how its claims about the origins of Native Americans stack up against, the hard data of modern DNA science.
And this is such a critical deep dive because we're really analyzing how just overwhelming genetic evidence has effectively forced a change in a foundational religious narrative.
It's all about historicity. And we're going to be dissecting the very specific, sometimes very technical, apologetic responses that were designed to, to manage this conflict.
Before we get there, we have to establish the central claim, the original unambiguous historical claim that was taught for, what, almost 200 years?
Right, from Joseph Smith all the way through to modern leaders like Spencer W. Kimball.
And the teaching was absolutely unequivocal. The Lamanites were the principal ancestors of all peoples across the Americas.
North, Central, South. And often even the Pacific Islanders were included in that. This doctrine really defined the identity of millions of people.
Until DNA testing came along in the 90s and the early 2000s.
Yep, especially in mitochondrial DNA. It just provided data that, you couldn't ignore it. It showed the narrative of a primary Near Eastern founding population was, genetically speaking, non-existent.
And the single biggest piece of evidence that this contradiction just became impossible to ignore, the smoking gun, if you will, is a very quiet change.
Monumentally significant, though, a textual change that happened around 2006.
In the introduction to the Book of Mormon itself.
That's right. The introduction was modified. The definitive phrase, principal ancestors, was removed, and it was replaced with a much softer, much more vague phrase, among the ancestors.
Among.
Among. That one-word shift from principal to among opens up the possibility of other, much larger founding populations, which is exactly what the science was demanding.
And it fundamentally changes the entire historical basis of the book.
It does.
Okay, let's unpack this. Let's start with the science. What did the DNA evidence actually show that was so conclusive it forced a major change in a scriptural introduction?
Well, the scientific data is, I mean, it's incredibly robust now. The vast majority of DNA markers that we find in modern Native American populations, they all closely resemble those found in Eastern Asian populations, specifically from Siberia.
So this aligns with the Bering Strait theory.
It aligns perfectly with the long-standing scientific theory of migration across the Bering Strait, tens of thousands of years ago. Genetically, we can track four major maternal lineages, haplogroups A, B, C, and D, and all of them are clearly East Asian.
I do remember hearing about a fifth one, though, haplogroup X. Wasn't that one sometimes used by apologists as maybe some potential link to Europe or the Near East?
It was, for a time, but that claim has been thoroughly debunked.
Oh.
While haplogroup X is present in some North American tribes, its origin isn't Near Eastern. It's ancient Siberian, traced to the Altai region, and it diverged from any Near Eastern populations long, long before the timeline of Lehi.
So the takeaway is simple. The evidence points east.
And that's the direct contradiction. I mean, you have Spencer W. Kimball, a prophet, stating the church's position explicitly. He said the Lamanites are not Orientals, but descendants of Lehi from the Near East. The DNA confirms the exact opposite.
And this is where it gets really, really interesting for me because the conflict isn't just about where people came from, it's about when.
Absolutely. The dating problem is huge. I mean, the scientific data shows that the first Americans arrived here at least 20,000 years ago, probably even earlier.
And we have physical evidence of this.
We do. Hard evidence. The 13,000-year-old remains of Nia, that teenage girl found in a Mexican cave, or the 12,700-year-old remains of the Anzac child in Montana. Both of them confirm a fully Native American ancestry dating way back.
So that timeline, 20,000 years ago, it presents two massive historical contradictions for believers at the same time.
It really does. It's a collision on two fronts. First, you have the Book of Mormon narrative, which starts with the Jaredites around 2500 BCE.
So people were here at least 10,000 years before the Book of Mormon story even begins.
Right. But the conflict is even deeper, because 20,000 years ago also challenges fundamental Orthodox beliefs about a literal Adam and Eve and Noah's flood.
The traditional 6,000-year timeline for the Earth.
Exactly. The belief that Adam and Eve were created only 6,000 or 7,000 years ago, the science just blows that timeline out of the water.
So for you, the listener, trying to get your head around this, the science doesn't just contradict the Book of Mormon's claims about origins, it fundamentally challenges that short, literal timeline of human history that many faiths hold to.
Precisely. And you have to understand how reliable the science is. DNA testing isn't suggestive or tentative, which is language you'll sometimes see from apologists.
No, this is the bedrock of modern forensics. It's used to put people in jail or, you know, exonerate the wrongly convicted.
It's the same science behind 23andMe. So think about this. If genetics can successfully trace your lineage back to Neanderthal markers from 40,000 years ago.
From a different extinct species.
Exactly. Why can't it find the clear, identifiable Near Eastern DNA of millions of Lamanites and Nephites who supposedly covered two continents just 2,600 years ago?
That is the essential, unavoidable question.
It is.
Okay, let's pivot to the textual contradictions then. The church's essay sort of implies that early members just assumed the Lamanites were the main ancestors. It suggests the original text was ambiguous.
That defense really seems to be undermined completely by the Book of Mormon itself. I mean, the text leaves absolutely no room for pre-existing populations.
Oh, so?
It establishes America as a promised land, a reserved land. Quoting to Nephi, it says, "Shall none come into this land, save they be brought by the hand of the Lord, and shall be kept from all other nations." This implies the land was completely empty until God brought these groups here.
It gets even more specific than that, doesn't it?
It does. In the Book of Ether, God tells the Jaredites he's sending them to a quarter where there had never man been.
Never, never. That's pretty clear.
It's the whole foundation of the book. And Joseph Smith himself affirmed this. In an 1838 letter, he said America was inhabited by two distinct races, Jaredites and Lehi's group, and that the remnant are the Indians that now inhabit this country. Unequivocally.
And crucially, this wasn't just his opinion. The foundational revelations of the church, they support this exclusive claim.
Absolutely. The Doctrine and Covenants, which for believers is the word of God, makes it a command. D&C 54, 19, 28, they all direct missionaries to the borders of the Lamanites.
And they identify them as the Native Americans in specific places like Missouri and Ohio.
Exactly. And the Book of Mormon's own title page states it is written to the Lamanites, who are a remnant of the house of Israel.
So let's connect the dots here. If God, the Book of Mormon, and Joseph Smith all identify the Native Americans in Missouri as Lamanites, but DNA shows those specific people are over 99% East Asian descendants,
then the prophetic and scriptural claims were factually incorrect about who the Lamanites were, where they were, and who their ancestors were. It's not a minor dispute. It's a fundamental contradiction of the book's entire historical premise.
Okay, so let's turn to that intellectual struggle. Let's focus on the official responses, mainly the church's gospel topics essay. It feels like the main goal is to raise, you know, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, FUD.
It is. And they do it using three key scientific concepts to try and explain the complete disappearance of any Near Eastern DNA.
Let's take them one by one. The first defense. The founder effect.
Right. The apologetic claim here is that Lehi's group was just too small, maybe only 20 or 30 people, so their genetic contribution was too insignificant to be detected. The argument is basically that the DNA is too ambiguous to find.
But wait, for that to work, you have to ignore all the specific details the Book of Mormon does give us.
You do.
We're told Lehi was from the tribe of Manasseh, Ishmael from Ephraim, Mulek from Judah, a descendant of King David. I mean, that's a very clear, specific Near Eastern lineage. We know exactly what markers to look for.
Correct. Tracing those markers isn't like looking for a needle in a haystack. It's like looking for a specific, identifiable coin that should have been minted at that exact time and place. Population genetics can trace these lineages.
Yeah.
The problem isn't ambiguity. The problem is that the marker is completely missing.
Okay, so let's move to defense number two, the population bottleneck. This is the claim that, you know, catastrophic wars and European diseases caused such a massive die-off that the specific genetic markers of the Lamanites and Nephites were just squeezed out, completely eliminated, or irretrievably lost.
Now, for someone who isn't steeped in the science, I have to say a population bottleneck, it sounds plausible, right?
On the surface, it sounds compelling, but it's scientifically very weak when you apply it here. Yes, bottlenecks happen, but for the specific Near Eastern marker to be perfectly eliminated.
While the much older dominant East Asian markers, which are still in 99% of indigenous populations, remain easily traceable, that just defies logic.
So you're saying the bottleneck would have had to perfectly erase the Lehi marker, but somehow protect the much older Siberian one.
Exactly. I mean, look, we can still trace the DNA of a 4,000-year-old Paleo-Eskimo skeleton. We can still find tiny percentages of Neanderthal DNA in modern Europeans. The idea that the markers of millions of people who covered two continents were completely erased in just 2,000 years It just fails the test of genetic persistence.
The outcome should have been a blending of DNA, not a perfect selective elimination.
Precisely.
Okay, and that brings us to the third defense, genetic drift.
This is the idea that the gradual random loss of genetic markers in small populations could account for the DNA's disappearance. They'll cite isolated examples like Iceland, where certain markers can drift out over a few hundred years.
But this is maybe the most mathematically implausible defense of all.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because the scale is all wrong. Genetic drift is about random chance, but when apologists use the Iceland example, they're comparing a tiny, isolated population of tens of thousands to the Book of Mormon population.
Which, based on their own war records, ran into the millions.
Millions. And the size of the genome itself matters. The human genome has 30 billion base pairs. To suggest that all the Near Eastern markers were just randomly removed by chance over a couple thousand years from a huge population, it just defies reality.
It's comparing a statistical rarity in a small pool to a virtual impossibility in a massive one.
That's a great way to put it. These technical arguments are designed to create plausible deniability, not to reflect historical reality.
Yeah.
It's a retreat from empiricism.
And this intellectual retreat has a profound human cost, doesn't it?
A huge one.
Despite the DNA findings, despite quietly changing the introduction in 2006, you had church leaders, President Hinckley, Elder Faust, President Monson, and temple dedications all over Latin America.
And the Pacific. Well into the 21st century.
Still referring to these populations as children of Lehi.
And this creates a genuine crisis of identity. You have members who were taught that their entire ancestry was defined by this specific scriptural history, a history that science later proved to be, well, fictitious. You're telling millions of people this is their heritage, only to quietly concede later that the foundational document was just wrong about their origins.
The ultimate admission of failure, though, it comes from Elder Oaks. It really sums up the whole trajectory of this debate.
It does. It's a stark reversal from the original position, which was that the Book of Mormon was true and science and archaeology would eventually prove it.
And he said,
stated, "It is our position that secular evidence can neither prove nor disprove the authenticity of the Book of Mormon."
They've backed away from testable claims because the tests failed.
Exactly.
Okay, let's recap the core findings for you. The Book of Mormon's foundational claims about the origins of the peoples of the Americas were refuted by DNA evidence. This forced a quiet but major textual shift in its own introduction around 2006.
And the apologetic efforts that followed, they rely on stretching scientific concepts like founder effect, bottleneck, and genetic drift in ways that just defy basic principles of population genetics.
The science is clear. The peoples of the Americas were here long before the Book of Mormon timeline, and their origins trace overwhelmingly back to East Asia.
That's the bottom line.
Which leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to consider. If the Book of Mormon narrative got the fundamental geography and the timeline of the entire people so definitively wrong that it forced such a massive quiet retreat, what does that imply about the historical reliability of the entire book?